This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant who brought forth the word with clarity and with impact. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. You may be seated. The atmosphere is set for what we want to do. But first of all, I'd like to, she just walked in now, Reverend Emeko's wife, doctor. All right. Amen. And I must personally thank her. She's my mother's doctor. All right. And my mother is 89 years old and she takes care of my mother again in Ibadan. We are like a family in Ibadan. All right then. All right. So I said this afternoon, just briefly, God showed me this, that we should do this. And like I said, the stage has been set. Now, out of the 19 miracles, personal miracles that Jesus did. Now, they were, when the Bible says he went there and healed them all. He went there and healed them. That's to everybody. But when it comes to personal encounter with Jesus one-on-one, 16 of them, Jesus attributed it not to his own faith, but to the faith of the people that came. For example, the woman with the issue of blood had nothing to do with the faith of Jesus, because he wasn't even aware that somebody was coming to touch him. So it was the faith of the woman. And the New Testament tells us that the just shall live, if you read from the original translation, by his what? Faith. So the just will live by his faith. The key to entering into the massive move of God in these end times is understanding the power of the collective. If I try to carry this pulpit by myself, if I ask 20 people, 5 people to come and pick it up, it's lighter for the 5. If we get 20 people, it's lighter for the 20. If 100 people come, it begins to get lighter. All right? The more people are involved in something, the faster it's going to happen, and the lighter it will be on every single person that is involved. And even Moses in the Old Testament, when they came to meet him, and they said to him that some people are prophesying somewhere, let's go and stop them. Moses said, woe to God that all of us were what? Prophets. This work won't be as hard if everybody was prophesying. And Jesus talked about the last feast. He said, in the great day of that feast, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. That's John 7:37. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of where his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if you put it up, John 7:37, I have to go quickly. It says, if any man thirst, all right, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, it means it is what you drank that is coming out of your belly. You agree with that? So you drink something and then it comes out of your own belly. Now, what does it mean in scripture to come to him and drink? It's simple. Isaiah 55 verse 1. It says, lo, or I ho, everyone that is thirsted, come to the waters. And they have no money, come and buy. Yea, and it says, buy wine and milk with that money without price. Verse 2, It says, verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Then it says, hearken diligently. So when you come to Jesus to drink, you come to listen. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. The next verse, it says this, incline your ear. Come unto me and do what? Hear. So when it says, whosoever thirsts, let him come to me and drink, we could say, let him come to me and hear. He that believeth on me after he has heard, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, after she heard of who? Jesus. So it was what entered into her that came out of her. And then it says, thy faith had made thee whole. Acts chapter 14, verse 7. We'll see this hearing again. Acts 14, 7. It tells us they were, and there they preached the gospel, which is what has been happening. Verse 8, and then it says, there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Verse 9, the same did what? Head. The same did what? Head. Paul speak. Who? That's Paul, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, Paul now said with a loud voice, now that man, if you understood the principle, could have said it himself. Do you get what I'm saying here? He could have said with a loud voice, because you know what Paul preached? He said, this is the word of faith that we preach, that if you will believe in your heart and declare with your mouth, for the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, this is the word of faith that we pray. So if the man had said with a loud voice, I am arising now, he would have got up. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Now the point, and God showed me about 6 weeks ago, he said, listen, miracles, showed me that, look, recently I meditated on it. Miracles are not hard. People listen to the word of God and they come to a point where they can enter into the miraculous. The issue is that you leave the people alone and they leave that environment where the miracle can happen. And they go home alone and then they are struggling. So meetings like this, this is the truth. They asked Brother Copeland, he says, my year, this is how he put it. If you ask me back then, how was your year or what happened in your life? He said, I will define it by before or after camp meeting. He said, a year always started at camp meeting. So if you tell me this happened, I will look at it and say, well, it happened 2 months after camp meeting. It happened this. He used, which means it was a defining point. Because when you come into that congregational thing, all right, when you come into it, your faith gets to a level easily that you may not be able to achieve just, all right, by your own self. So we shouldn't allow it to waste. Are you following what I'm saying here? And people have been hearing and hearing. Listen, preachers here can tell, if you sit in a meeting like this, and you listen for 5 days. On the 6th day, if they give you a microphone without preparing, you preach. You will preach 3 hours message. You just be preaching. Because you have heard. Are you following what I'm saying here? In fact, it's very wise if they invite you for a meeting that you first of all sit down and hear what they are saying. When you hear, God will talk to you after some time in what you are listening. That's the truth. I remember in 1980, if you have the access to the message camp meeting, Kenneth Hagin called up Oral Roberts to speak. He said, he gave him mic. He said, it's a dangerous thing to give mic to an evangelist who has sat down for 5 days listening. Are you sure you want to give me this mic, sir? He said, take the mic. He said, are you sure? This told him, are you sure, sir? I have been listening for 5 days. This was on the spur. Go and listen to what happened. Massive breakthrough when he finished speaking. You will hear the breakthrough. You are not there. You will hear the breakthrough there. So as people hear, something is being deposited. The point is, what is deposited is not released. That's why Paul said, the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What does it mean to mix it with faith? Jesus said, if you have the faith of God, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So they heard, but never released that thing for the fulfillment of something. You understand what I'm saying? It stayed on the inside. And it keeps staying there. And it keeps draining there. So let's look at this here, just to show this. Now, there's a law why confessions work. It's a law. Matthew 12, 33 and 35. It's not just that I said it. There is a law. Matthew 12, 33, 35. Either make the tree good and his fruit what? Good. Or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Next verse says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak forth good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Which means the mouth can only bring forth that which is in the heart in abundant measure. If you say something that is not in your heart in abundant measure, it will not produce. Do you get what I'm saying here? Alright? If you say something, and there is no time where the word gets into you in abundance like that, than a meeting of this kind of nature. Are you following what I'm saying? That you sit down from morning till evening, come back again, morning till evening, listening, listening, listening. What are you doing? Drinking, drinking, drinking. The river is there. Now look at what it says next there. It says, next verse here. And then it says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. And then it says, verse 36 there, but I say unto you that every idle word, that idle word is word you are speaking not based on what is in your heart in abundance. It says, on the day of judgment, that word will be judged that is not in you in abundance. Are you following what I'm saying? What we just experienced here, you can know your faith got to a level. What he did now took your faith to an unusual level. You may have been hearing thanksgiving about them, but it raised something on the inside. So when that thing is raised there, she should be released. Let me just show some scriptures here about Jesus. So what I want to do is, I want you here to release your faith. That's release it. When you are releasing faith for something, it is not general. Faith is very specific. That's why it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain. It's not a general statement. In fact, those general statements we make, we call them confession of faith, but really in the strictest of sense, is confession of hope. You are declaring your hope. When it comes to speaking by faith, you are saying so to something. Jesus talked to things throughout his entire ministry. There's no account where a demand was made on Jesus and he prayed publicly about anything. None. That the wind is blowing. He says, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, calm this wind down. No. The only time he ever talked about prayer was to say, Father, I thank you because you heard me. Which means I just want them to know that I have prayed about this thing. But when he got there, he didn't say, Father, raise Lazarus up. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't go to the fig tree and say, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus. Or, Father, I ask you by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said to the fig tree, no man shall eat of thee thereafter. If you go to the fig tree and say, I have authority and greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world, the fig tree doesn't know what you just said. That's you talking to yourself. Do you get what I'm saying here? Remember back then, Archbishop used to say this. He would say, listen, he would get there and he'll go to church in the morning when they have empty chairs and he'll be speaking to all the chairs. There are people sitting on you, talking to the chairs. If you have not started talking to things, you are not yet spiritual. Everybody prays. Few people talk. Do you get what I'm saying here? We talk about things. We don't talk to things. Do you get this? I'm telling you, you say this. I'm telling you, you talk to things. First faith minister that came back then, Dr. Crefodola came, and he also came. I'm trying to remember his name now. I mean, he'll tell us, we were teaching us in scripture pastor then. He said his car stopped working. He opened the boot. He just stood there and started talking to the car. And then over time, even Dr. Bill was preaching before, he said he spoke to his car and just gave God time to walk. When took a cup of coffee, came back, started the car. This man taught us, he said, the grass, there is no grass greener anywhere in America than his house, because he spoke to the grass every morning. How did God bring out grass? He called the thing. When the Bible says, and God breathed into man and gave him the breath of life, the literal Hebrew sages tell us, and man became another speaking spirit like God, talking to things. We're Africans. If you see somebody on the road, just stand and he's talking. Is it that he is mad or spiritual? Isn't that what they say here? It's one of the two. Even all these men that go, look, I'm telling you this. Welcome, all these men that go, I mean, witch doctors and all of that. And they say, so what do you want? I want this person to do this. They say, what is the person's name? They are talking to the person. And because nobody else is talking to the person, what they are saying will go. Because they talk to it. They say, oh, we put a needle in something, and then hold the person up. Maybe, don't let me call a name that can be a name. And they say, maybe the name is Jacksville. Jacksville! Jacksville! Hear me! And they'll call Jacksville where he is. Because nobody else is calling Jacksville. They are just talking. There's nothing deep about what they are doing. Are you following what I'm saying? There's nothing deep. So we talk about things. And many times we talk to things, and when we talk to things, it's negative. This terrible car I brought, the car hears you. Are you following what I'm saying? You check it. When people talk to things, it's negative. And you cannot change with your hands what has been established with your words. You can't. Because words is where the spiritual authority lies. So I'm not saying, you know, when we start releasing faith, start saying that greater is he that is in me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you are talking to things. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because word has been deposited, you need to release your own faith to make it happen. See, back then when I used to go to Benin City, one day they preached, all the great men of God were there. Archbishop Idausa got up, he said, the miracles that are permanent are the ones you see into your life yourself. Where did the word of faith teaching come out strong? Kenneth Hagin. Go and listen to his ABCs of faith. You'll see the secret of faith there. In it, he said, I went to pray during the healing revival and somebody who was bent backwards came up straight. The pastor took me there. He said, listen, he said, I started crying on my way home. The pastor said, why are you crying? He said, she will lose her miracle. She will lose her miracle. He said, I changed my ministry. God told me, get the word into people. Get the word into people. If they pray for them and they get the miracle and they can't sustain it with their own word, he said, they will eventually lose it. See, it is more fashionable. You make more money. I'm in ministry here. By saying that I have an anointing. If I speak into your life, things will change no matter what you say. People will give offering to you. I'm telling you, ministry. Because people don't want to exercise themselves. They just want to take like a babalawo. How much do we drop? We drop 500,000. Will you do the work for us? Go and do the work for us. And people will drop it. I say you can go. You will be rich. But people will be slaves. It is out of your own belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. If you want, go on YouTube and can Google it. There's a series by Kenneth Copeland. You are the prophet of your own life. Number one, nobody can change what you have established. Jesus said it. By your words you shall be what? Justified. By your words you shall be what? Condemned. So talk to things. And Jesus said this quickly. Luke chapter 5, let's just look at the examples here. And then what you do is, you spend time worshiping Jesus, because the Roman centurion gave us the key. I am a man under authority, and I say to those under me, it is you being under authority that makes everything underneath you respond. Even the Father put Jesus at his right hand under his authority. It's because Jesus is submissive to the Father, that's why all others are submitted to him. Are you following me here? It is a flow. Once you rebel against the higher authority, you lose your own authority over what is there. So when we go into worship, is an acknowledgement of the higher authority by whom you have the power to release your own authority to everything he has said is underneath you. So a major general didn't form the army. He's there. A colonel didn't form the army. If he rebels against the major general, he loses the right for the major and the lieutenant to obey him. You understand this? Luke chapter 5 here. Let's look at it. Verse 18 to verse 20. So you don't leave this place hoping that something will happen. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm hoping that something will happen. Just this time, Lord. Touch me, Lord. You know, that kind of thing. You know, they came to meet Jesus in Romans 10. It says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? Or who shall descend to the deep? He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy mouth. In other words, when Jesus was going, he said, if you want to see me in your life, don't say who shall ascend to heaven or who shall descend to the deep. You want to see me? Make my word near you, in your mouth and in your heart. He said, that is the word of faith we preach. In fact, what Jesus was saying, if you look at the Roman centurion, when he said, I'm a man under authority, he said, I say to this, go, go. You don't have to come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. Jesus, if you look at what he said, you see this thing you said? I've not seen faith like this in the whole of Israel. What he was saying was, he said, a time is going to come where people will come from the north, south, what I was saying were the Gentiles, and sit down with the seats there, and feed on the things of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those who are inside will be on the outside. What he was saying is that, when I'm gone, this is the principle going to work. You won't be able to touch my garments. You won't be able to ask me to come into you. It's people that understand the spoken word. He said, speak the word only and my servant shall be made whole. So he said, listen, this is what's going to happen. In other words, I'm going to bring my other, I'm going to send the comforter who will be another one. And the way he operates is this thing, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is spoke about the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? So in this dimension, you go to here. When you hear in abundance, you release it. That's Jesus. What will February bring? You know, one time I was in school, I told God, I said, God, my future films feels empty. He said, because you haven't put anything there. If we come and meet you, so what will February bring? We don't know. It's what you put in February that February will bring. If you don't know, then what will happen in February is you won't know. Are you following what I'm saying here? They say, we just say things. God's time is the best. Where did we see it inside the scripture? It says the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. With every promise, when he's revealing it, he will tell you the set time if it's not now. Read the Bible. 400 years, he told him. He won't just leave you in limbo, saying God's time is the best. Do you get what I'm saying? As we just say, God's time is the best. So what are you saying? God's time is the best. When it will happen, when God wants it. It's, you set it, you get what I'm saying? Luke 5, 18 to 20. Behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Jesus didn't know about this. And when they could find no way, they brought the right God mountain. They went to the top there and let him down through the valley and into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven." And then the next verse. And then the scribes began, all right, to see what they saw. Now, what did Jesus see? Their faith. Luke chapter 7, verse 48 to verse 50. Luke 7. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And then he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." If it was Jesus' faith, he would have given everybody, plus those people beside. Think about it. Because it causeth rain to fall. Are you following me? You know, what finished us as Christians is this. An unbeliever will say, "In 2 years' time, I'll be worth so and so." Tell the Christian to say it. He will say, "Well, I'm not sure whether it is the will of God." So he can't say it authoritatively. Are you following what I'm saying? Can't say it authoritatively. So to the pastor you ask, "So what will be the size of your church in 3 years' time?" Only God knows. If you say it that way, then only God knows. You get what I'm saying? Luke chapter 17, from 17 to 19. And Jesus answering, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are they what? 9. And look at what he said. And they are not found that return to give God glory, save this stranger. Jesus said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." You could almost say that the 10 getting cleansed was Jesus' faith. But when one decided to come back, he said, "Your faith has made you complete and whole." So let me say this way, because something has been impressed in my heart. You may not be able to believe for everything. You are not sure. We won't ask you to profess on what you are not sure on. Profess on what you are sure on. If you are not sure, all right, and Kenneth Hagin say this, if you are not sure in your heart, because sometimes people want to impose their own faith level on other people. So if they, God will heal miraculously. If you are not sure, what are you, you must be sure of something. You are sure that the doctor, don't be ashamed of that level. The doctor will come and give the right diagnosis. And in the operation, my body will heal faster. Say that. Because let every man prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. So you have to find the faith where it is. If you can believe that my salary will be doubled, stay there. If you believe that it will be a 10% increase, stay there. Don't start calling because it's what is in abundance in your heart that you are convinced about. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't say we'll touch the garment if you need to tell Jesus the problem and then say, Jesus, lay hands on me. And that's how Jesus is. It's what you can believe for. Finally, let's just look at John chapter 11, 25 and 43. Let's just see the difference here. So they'll come to me, Jesus, say, peace be still. Come on, meet him. Arise, take up your bed and walk. All right. Told Lazarus, said, Lazarus, come forth. He spoke two things. He declared two things. So he says here, Jesus said unto her, now this was when they were, okay, says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall live. Now that's an affirmation of something that he believed. That's not a prophetic declaration. Do you get what I'm saying? If he stood before Lazarus and said, I am the resurrection and the life, Lazarus will have stayed where he was. He had to call Lazarus by name. Lazarus, come forth. You know, maybe our problem is that the first set of people we've seen do this kind of thing were on the other side. So people are afraid. I think maybe that's the African man's problem. That people are afraid that, how can I call? But he said, Lazarus, do what? Come forth. Peter prayed before Dorcas. After he finished praying, he got up. Dorcas, God had heard his prayer. Dorcas was still where she was. Until he turned and said, damsel, I say unto you, arise. But he had prayed. So many people have prayed, but they have not said, I say unto you, come out. I know what's happening, what's causing frustration. After you pray, you have a witness in your spirit that God has heard. Then you are hoping. Until that witness is battered by people that come and say, if God was with you, it wouldn't have been like this. Because this was an assault on Jesus' faith. If you were here, until you lose out everything. I guarantee you, do you think when the Bible says Satan came and stole the word that was sown into them? Once you leave the convention, he will begin to fight. And I heard somebody say this, and it is correct. And that is why many people start getting tired of conventions who are grown Christians. You know why? Because we have been over and over, it's a routine. The problem is they were not taught correctly. So they came hoping and they left what? Hoping. The faith you get for it should raise your level. In other words, I came into the meeting, all right, that this year I will get 20 measures. After I heard what I heard, my faith went up to 400 measures. But if I don't start saying it, it will drop back to normalcy. You understand what I'm saying? Christianity is not that we are looking at a star and we are being entertained. Christianity is a participatory thing. Are you following what I'm saying? It is a participatory thing. In other words, the people must release. You know the truth about it. You know the truth. Everybody that has stood here to preach has lost some virtue they came with. And put that virtue into you. Let me repeat what I'm saying. Everybody that stood here to preach has lost some virtue they came with and put that virtue into you. What are you doing with the virtue? There was a man who fell ill. An American missionary in India. They rushed him back to America. They say it's terminal. They tried everything they couldn't. He said, take me back to India. The people I put my life into are there. Let them lay hands on me and put that life back to me. I will get healed. Because when he enters you, he should multiply in you. That's why I said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That's why, it's not that sometimes we just look at it and go. But the old timers will say to any preacher, before you leave, kneel down, let us pray for you. Yeah. What they are saying is, what you put into us, let's put more back into you before you leave this place. Because to get that life back, if they were praying 1 hour every day, to get that life back, they may have to do 3 hours of prayer consistently for 5 days to receive that thing that they put back into you as the truth. And people don't know. In fact, counseling is the one that virtue goes anyhow. That's why I advise any pastor, you know what? Don't really do counseling. As much as people say counsel, because even listening, pray to God to give you word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So that when you are preaching, people are getting counsel. Because if they sit down, you can be drained. Drained. And so what will happen is that you will see that some ministers that are shooting up have delegated those things. So that all they are doing is the power that they have, and you are there doing big brother, counseling. I mean, someone came to me once when I was still, I didn't know these things. Sat in my office for 3 hours talking. I didn't say any word. After 3 hours, the person said, I want to thank you. Listen to me for 3 hours. Now, let me tell you what. She was relieved, but you are carrying it now. Once somebody's relieved, where did the virtue go? It entered you. Now, the truth is, if you do that one for 10 people, you will just see that after some time, Pastor, what's the problem? All right? You have carried up. So let me say this here. One chap came to see me. That's why you see me. I don't need to cancel him. My prayer is God, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. One guy came to see me and said, this is somebody, you all know him, he's church. He said, Pastor, I need to see you about something. I said, all right, after church. He came after service. He said, Pastor, no need. Thank God I didn't tell you. I would have thought you came to preach me on the pulpit. You preached everything that was going on inside my life. Someone who was my staff went to meet her husband. Something was going on. She told me later on that my husband lost his job. I said, you didn't tell me what to say. I didn't say anything to you. I did not say anything to you. I said, so what was going on? He said, Pastor, you won't believe what will happen. I said, what? He said, I'll go. He said, one day you were so accurate about what was going on in the office. You were discussing politics in the office. It was so accurate that I went to meet him. I said, come. I didn't tell Pastor anything. I'm telling you, I didn't say anything. He said, look, wasn't I coming to Covenant before I met you? I know how me and Pastor are. Anytime I come, he says what is going on in my life. I know you didn't tell him. I've been coming here before we married. So I know, don't bother yourself. But if you sit down, I said, my cat ran out of the house. I said, okay. My niece ran out of the house. I said, okay. My niece ran out of the house. I said, okay. My dad ran out of the house. I said, okay. By the time you leave your office on matters that could have been solved prophetically. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Because when you pray in tongues for people, when you read the Bible, you should get the interpretation of what you prayed over your congregation. So that when you preach, it's interpretation of tongues. You are preaching to people, solving problems. Some of you go on social media and carry bad virtue. I hope you understand something. Anything you hear is transferring the spirit. Listen to what I'm saying. Anything you hear is transferring the spirit. And you can easily know. I mean, you can be happy now. If someone comes to meet you and says something negative, wants something up. You can even walk into this meeting address. Someone said, the way you are dressed, you look like somebody that I knew that had lost her mind. Or, you know, it changes things. So words are what? Spiritual power. As you listen, it enters. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. One day I went to see Bishop Wedekwa. I was carrying a newspaper. He looked at me and said, I stopped reading newspapers last year the church grew by 6,000. Because when you read about this story, you read about that story, you read about this story, that's why when it's time for you to pray, you just see that the tongues are maka. It's not going beyond the ceiling. Because all that thing that has entered into you, you have to first of all lift it. I had someone in this church who was doing very well. Very well. One day told me, he said, I don't listen to bad news on television twice. He said, and don't behold wrong images. He said, I don't look at, if CNN is showing something, disaster, I don't look at it twice. There's disaster in Cuba. Fine. That's it. Next time again, another cycle of news, I put it off. I already know what is happening in Cuba. You look again. You look again. Don't you know what you see? And the more you are looking at Cuba, the less you are looking at the Bible. Because you can't look at two things at the same time. All right? If I say look up now, you can't see what's down. You gotta look up and one eye is down, one is up. So you are only focused on one thing. Okay? Are you from Satan? These are the little things Satan does that he steals. When the Bible says he came and stole the world, we think that he came and then entered and stole. He uses things like this. And he has already prepared what he would do as you leave this place. He knows your weakness. He knows this is what I'm going to do. Some people, you argue since Wabek started in your marriage, there's been no argument. That night, it must change the way you feel. Look, I don't like what happened here. Just keep quiet. And you don't say to the spouse, I'm telling you, the devil has come. Do you get what I'm saying? Then cause more problem inside the house. All the revelation, you look, I can't say try it because it's you can't try it. But I'm telling you, if those kind of things happen, the next morning, try and pray. You'll see there's a distance between where you are and where you were before. Are you following what I'm saying? So now that you have sat, see. Sometimes don't say this thing. I was in the elevator with Dr. Krefudola. He looked. He said, Ralph Beck, you are setting world records in listening to the world. He said, nobody does sessions like this in the world. There's a day Dr. Bill Winston came here. He said, move this meeting. Add 5 more days to it and you'll take this city. He told me, here. He said, come. 5 days. He said, because the faith of people are going up. He said, if you add 5 more days of this anointing, he said, this thing will spread throughout this whole city. So the point is, your faith has gotten to a level. So you know what we're going to do now? Because God showed me. We'll spend 10 minutes worshiping God. Then you will speak. I didn't say you should say, I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You have been saying that one. You will see, if the whole thing is cigarette smoking, what cigarettes they smoke now? Back then, I've forgotten cigarette. Do they still have Marlboro and all these kinds of cigarettes? Or what was that? Benson and Hedges. You will say, Benson and Hedges, I say to you, these lips shall no longer partake of you. Not that you say, all things are passed away. This is generic. All right? You will say to the issue, I say to you. Jesus looked at the fig tree and said, I say to you, no man shall eat fruit. He spoke to it. And the Bible says he cursed it, which means empowered it to fail. So whatever Satan is bringing in, talk back to it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Talk back. So there I was walking on Marina in Lagos here. One man came wearing something. He was like wanted to hypnotize me. I looked straight into his eyeball. I said, let me tell you. Ah, so Odamo. In other words, you know the principle. I looked straight. I said, now let me tell you. Eye contact. He said, you know what is going on. He left me. Respect. But he said, Jesus, I'm telling you. You look straight into his eye. I say to you. You know that you'll be saying, Jesus will save me. No. You. Didn't you hear what David did to Goliath? He talked back. Goliath spoke to David. David didn't say, I'm telling you, I have a God. He said, this day, you. Alright, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee and take thy head from off thee. He spoke to him. And I will give the carcasses. He didn't say, God will help me. I'm telling you, God will help me. The God of Abraham will come. He didn't say that. He said, I will deal with you that day. When he said it, Goliath knew I've lost. Before the battle started, because nobody had ever talked to him like that. And that is why he was destroying everybody. Because when he talks, he will shrink. But when he talks, one boy came out and said, what are you saying? I spoke back to him and what are you talking about? Yet? I bet you can't go to iPod. It's a war of words. Are you what I'm saying? I have someone said they bring powder, like who was saying in the pastor, they blow. You to bring down to your own way. Phew, the man will take off. But, my invisible powder. You say back. Say, Pastor, can you do that? When they threw rod, didn't they throw rod? Do you understand what I'm saying? If they carry water and pour on you and say, you are going to fail, you to take water and pour on you and say, you are going to fail. Don't start behaving like it's war. Anytime you are down, is because you are not speaking back. Do you know what I'm saying here? Anytime you are down, you know, sometimes some of this message you've forgotten. I told somebody in this church back then, he said, Pastor, oh, you lad. He said, I said, how do you get out of it? He said, but you told us. He said, I will go to sports center. I will lift up my voice. I started speaking back. He said, the thing left me. People have prayed, God has heard, but they are not speaking. Do you get what I'm saying? Did you hear David say, if God wants to, he said it straight, I will smite. Alright? I will smite. Look, sometimes when people even say in the name of Jesus, it's not Jesus like that they are calling. Didn't you see the sons of Sceva? Didn't they say in Jesus' name I adore you? What did the demon say? Jesus, we know. Don't call Jesus. Paul, we know. You, answer for your name. Don't call Jesus' name here. Answer for your name. You get what I'm saying? That, so your confession is to build a sense of identity. And then you release it with words out of your lips. You understand this? So let's rise up as we take time. First 10 minutes of worship, please hear what I'm saying again. I did not say pray in tongues because we like religion. You have done that one. I said, talk to the thing. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't say pray in tongues. I said, talk to the thing. Sometimes, and I want to say this here, the old timers who couldn't speak in tongues, how were they getting results? They were talking. You know, me, I don't do all this thing of, we know more than you. One day in church, it was in Lekki, we were doing a prayer meeting and I saw somebody could not speak in tongues. I did not go and meet him and say, okay, I don't know, let's go and fill with the Holy Ghost. I was following the guy. Let me know what this man, we that were praying in tongues for 1 hour and you are talking. Because I can't do it. You can't tell me to pray in a sign now for 1 hour and I've been talking. I said, yeah, I've seen somebody that knows how to do this thing. I was following him, but he didn't know pastor was learning from him. I was saying, God. You could see a person asserting. Do you get what I'm saying now? Asserting. I think it was one of the first times we had here when Bishop to this part came. He said they were praying about something. One of these old timers got up. God, are you saying you won't hear? God, are you saying you won't hear this? Audacity. Do you get what I'm saying here? So speak back to the very thing. It says, at famine and destruction laugh. Which means you are looking at the thing. Tell the thing the debt. Look at it. And say, you'll be paid in full. Do you get what I'm saying? Harassment stops here. Because those things are spirits. Listen, they are talking to you. How do we know? The Bible says Jesus answered the fig tree. You only answer somebody who is talking at you. So the fig tree said, I will mock you. Who are you? Jesus said, you will mock me. Jesus answered and said to it. That means the fig tree spoke to Jesus. And then he said, you, no man will eat fruit of you again. See, the fig tree head. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The fig tree did what? Head. Because the fig tree obeyed the word. Everything in creation hears. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, this is the truth. We've lost inside the body of Christ. Kenneth Hagin said, this is what he said. He said, I did not believe in healing. I was told that you are going to die. There's no healing. Then he said, after some time, I took the Bible and started reading the Bible. And I came to the conclusion that God will heal me. He said, I prayed. These were his words. He said, if you took a baseball bat and said, I will beat you to death, deny that God has healed you. He said, I would have said, I believe that God has healed me. He said, but I was still there for 6 months in that condition. He said, until God said, look at it again. I said, if you will say, and do not doubt, but believe what you are saying will come to pass. You will have not what you believe, what you say. He said, I've used my last 50 years of my life. He said, then I started saying it to that incurable blood disease. He said, in a matter of 3 hours, I was eating breakfast. What I was rolling on the bed for, that I thought I was going to die. Do you get what I'm saying here? If it's cancer, you talk to the cancer. That you are healed by the stripes of Jesus is one. That's your affirmation. That you say, cancer, I say to you. You dry out of... Do you get what I'm saying? So let's go into worship. Now, let me tell you what happens in worship. The throne and the Lamb, waters flow out of that. Now, let me say something to you. When you want to worship, listen, shut your eyes and see Jesus on the throne. Listen to what I'm saying. Close your eyes. Don't be Pentecostal. Close your eyes and see Jesus. I used to go for a Bible school. What's that woman that used to be, remember, near, what's that, Samanda area. What's her name? Huh? No. One woman that used to teach. She had a Bible school. You know her? No, one lady. She used to teach a Bible school for young people. You know her? That's it. Yes. What's her name again? Kinta. Yeah, Kinta Prince. So we'll go there and teach. So one day, I learned something, so I decided I was going to worship and practice it. But you know, sometimes you forget these things. I shut my eyes and I saw Jesus as I know Jesus. Is the Jesus you know you can see? And I saw him seated. Not that I had open vision, I created. Because I said, you know, so that, God, I just had an open vision. I didn't say open vision. I created. You see this ministry? I've never heard God say, my son, arise. You are going into the ministry to... It's all those people are deeper than me. Do you get what I'm saying? All I knew was I joined the fellowship. I became an usher. I did this there. I went to this department. I went to that department. Before I knew what was happening, they said I should come and share in cell group. I shared. Before I knew what was happening, they promoted me to this head of evangelism. Before I knew what was happening, if God called you, he called you. Do you get what I'm saying? It was, I went to the Redemption Committee, he told me once, said, you mean in that place you are, they have not recognized your anointing. If you are anointed after some time, they begin to recognize. That recognition doesn't mean they will give you pulpit. That recognition means that they will make you an usher and like you. It's that likeness that shows there is something, not the position. You heard what I said? They will like you. The leadership will like you. Not that they will say that when we are not around, you are preaching. They just like you. Is that favor? Are you following me? So I was saw. Do you know what happened? There were some people in fellowship after came to me and said, what was going on? I said, why? He said, heat was coming out of your being towards us. What were you doing? What was happening between you and it? He said, your whole environment was just filled with fire. And it was just something privately I was doing inside my heart saying Jesus. I think Jesus just wanted me to know that that's the way this thing is. That's why he describes things in the Bible so that you can picture it. Do you get what I'm saying here? Because that picture there is very important. That's why when they went to meet, and worship is a type of interaction between you and Jesus, Jacob made sure that the picture was right. So don't see the problem. See Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? We'll do that 10 minutes, and after that you start. Let me say again, I didn't say pray in tongues. We don't want to hear anybody tongues. Do you understand this? We don't want to hear tongues. See, let me tell you this. When he was up here, he said, we will sing for 3 minutes. I was there. I waited for 3 minutes before I came up. Because that was the word, I could have come up any time, but I waited. Because I listened to what he said, 3 minutes. He didn't just say it like that. He said 3 minutes. When we say no tongues, no tongues. Do you get what I'm saying here? Speak. Now if you mean, I know, because you're programmed for tongues. Once you say it half of time and your vocabulary, you say, remember what they said, no tongues. Alright.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.